Science Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
My good afternoon. Man in Line's open line today. Remember, tomorrow we're talking about the Ravens, FC Isle of Man tomorrow with the chair and the chief exec. But today, whatever's on your mind, you're on the air by calling 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at magsradio.com. I shop local, says Will, and have given up eating products from supermarkets. I will only buy Manx butter, cheese, milk and potato. The butcher in Port Erin's amazing. I go to Peel every week just so I can go to Tears and the health food shop, says Manx Will. Well, this goes back to the whole question of food security on the Isle of Man and the fact that only, what is it, 6% of the food we eat, 6 items out of every 100, come from the Isle of Man, whereas years and years ago, tons of stuff used to be grown and used on the Isle of Man. Now, there are all sorts of financial questions, you know, the amount of stuff you can grow and where it's going to be sold and what have you, but security is another matter. And just go back to what happened during COVID, when everybody thought there might be a shortage and suddenly, whoosh, everything was gone out of the supermarket. All the pasta and the bottled water, the rice, it was all gone. Anything that was dried was gone. In fact, you're probably still using it now. Is that just human nature? Regarding that, the couriers, by the way, Trevor in Williston said, I collect my courier every week from my local spa shop. This is the story about those 500 couriers that were dumped in the Beach Buddies bin at Blue Point because somebody somewhere didn't want to leg it around delivering the darn things. I applied for my vehicle licence online last Thursday. It came in the post the following day. So this going online may be working. It feels like DEFA hasn't helped Manx farmers for many, many years. One of the worst things that they did was end the meat derogation. Nobody asked the Isle of Man to end it. DEFA just thought that they should. And the low number of dedicated agricultural staff compared to other parts of the department show that DEFA and the government don't support farming. It's shameful, says Ali. So the agriculture bit of DEFA, she says, is somewhat lacking. Well, we'll be at the Royal Show, Man in Line, as we always do a broadcast from the Royal Show, and we'll hopefully be talking to farmers at the Royal Show just to see what they think. That's Friday the 7th of August. We'll have a panel of guests, hopefully in the sunshine. And remember, tomorrow, as I mentioned, FC Isle of Man. Next Wednesday, Castle Rushen High School. And then Thursday, a week tomorrow, I'll be in jail. I'll be at the Isle of Man prison. We'll be talking to people inside the walls. It's years. I did a broadcast 25 odd years ago from Victoria Road. And that was something else. But it's a lot different inside the new prison than it was in Victoria Road. Because Victoria Road, to be quite honest, well, there was an odour about it. Do I need to go any further? Yes, they used to slop out. Julian's on now. Hello, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Yeah, a fine building, though. That would have been nice if they could have preserved that for heritage.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think, was it somewhere like Berlin? They've actually turned one of the Cold War prisons into a hotel.
Yeah, I know. I know. I don't understand why some of these places get knocked down out of hand. The Moore Vanin consenting hearing.
Yeah.
On Monday, an evidence deposition was read out by Mr. Ethan Quirk, and he referenced Costa Rica. He stated, and I quote, that over 98% of their energy is generated via renewable methods within their own borders. Ethan used the word energy, but I'll come back to that in a moment. According to Costa Rica's National Electricity Utility, which is called ICE, electrical generation on Costa Rica comprises 70% plus from free-flowing river hydro. Geothermal provides around 13% of their electricity. So 83% of their electricity generation comes from free-flowing river or dammed hydro, not pumped hydro as proposed here. So very similar to what Norway has and not possible on the Isle of Man. 13% from the geothermal, which I've been banging on about with Duin for years now, and the Isle of Man government seems extremely resistant to even try and see if that could work. And then below geothermal, quite a small 12% from several small wind farms. But if you look at total energy supply for Costa Rica, 65% of their total energy is supplied by gasoline, diesel, jet fuel and liquid petroleum gas. So when you zoom out and you look at all their energy needs, hydro then shrinks to 20% of their total energy demand, which is a large amount of just their electricity.
Right. When you say gasoline and what have you, is that's presumably for vehicles and planes and what have you.
Well, it's energy, isn't it? Because they argue that EVs are to displace petrol and diesel cars. So when you look at the total energy demand, the small amount of wind on Costa Rica supplies 3% of total energy demand, or 12% of their electrical demand. And I've said that before here, the wind that's here, by the time you've got the load factor, which is the UK average, you're going to get something small like that as well.
And do you think Ethan Quirk knew about geothermal and the hydro?
Well, when he's quoting 98% of their energy is generated via renewable methods, perhaps that's not accurate when he's then saying that the reason for all having more van in is to do with Costa Rica, which I believe his partner is from Costa Rica. What else? Let's have a think about this. Costa Rica also enjoys being on the tropical trade wind belt, with the northwest trade winds from the Caribbean flowing nice and smoothly towards the Pacific. So actually, they do have a reasonable wind there because it's nice and smooth. Laminar is the proper term for it. Unlike the Isle of Man, where we get turbulent Atlantic weather. Ethan Quirk also said he was in support of more banning because Paul Rose Power Station will be decommissioned in just 7 years, and we must get away from volatile gas prices. Well, firstly, Paul Rose can be serviced easily until 2050, according to some MHKs, unless, of course, we were to go to a much more efficient set of new gas turbines, which would knock the gas usage down by about 15% compared to the ones that were put in 2003 that we're using now.
Yeah, I think it's worth stating that when people talk about Paul Rose being commissioned, Paul Rose is just, it's a hall that's got two jet engines in, really. That's what it is. And you can buy new jet engines and you can repair jet engines. So Paul Rose doesn't need to be got rid of, does it?
No, and the new ones are much more efficient. I mean, 15% of whatever gas we're buying at the moment is quite a lot. I mean, that's the long millions a year that's going to be saved by putting in new ones. So you have to make the calculation. Is it worth keeping going with the existing ones, or should we just bite the bullet? And you don't need to build a new hall like we did back in 2003. You know, you could just retrofit those. So you're talking a fraction of what it's going to cost to put renewables in. You brought up an interesting point, though, about expensive electricity from gas. Now, it's being said that the marginal cost of electricity from gas is making electricity expensive. We hear that, oh, it's the gas that's making it expensive. But what's not mentioned is a raft of taxes and levies placed on it before the marginal cost is published. If you take gas power generation companies, they're subjected, say, to the UK emissions trading scheme. That adds 44% on top of our bills on the kilowatt hour price. On top of that, you have the carbon price support tax and the climate change levy. And on top of that, you have inflated fuel duties. And then you've got the electricity generator levy that penalises gas generators with yet another tax.
And are we paying those on the Isle of Man?
Well, this is a good question. Do we don't have any renewables on the island, yet we're paying 29.5p. On top of that, you've got a load of costly environmental permits. So as renewables are also added to the grid in the UK, balancing and inertia costs rise as the generation companies struggle to cope with intermittent electricity flowing through an electrical network that was designed for nice, stable, smooth, traditional generation methods. So the more renewables you put in, the harder it is to keep the Pandora's box in of balancing the electricity so that we've got nice, smooth stuff.
What did you
and
make?
On the other side,
sorry, what did you make of the the Moore Vannin, the kind of meeting that they had?
Well, the vast majority of people clearly were against it, including several people who were highly educated in even just in accounts and things. It was brought up that the fact that nobody wants to discuss what the deal is, the fact that $57 million a year is actually very, very tiny when you think that we're going to burn through $500 million just on Manx care, and that's accelerating. So is it inflation linked? We have all those questions that
and
what, will not
Julian,
be
why do you think that the people responsible, whether it's Ørsted or whether it's the government, haven't actually told the population how much is this is going to cost? What is going to be the cost that's going to have to be borne by the taxpayers of the Isle of Man? And what are the benefits? Because as with everything, there's a cost-benefit analysis. And the public doesn't seem to be in on this.
Well, no. I mean, you know, we focus on that 29.5p, for example. The UK is paying something similar. But you've got the UK. We import from the UK, and when you look at the FOI, you see that the imported green electricity is twice as expensive as what another FOI indicates is the Isle of Man cost to generate. And part of that is also on the other side of the ledger. The UK electricity bills for renewables are given... renewables are given the luxury of contracts for difference that pay wind generation companies whether they generate or not. They reckon by 2030 that's going to add up to $8 billion a year paying off wind generators not to generate because the grid can't take it. So all these costs are being added to everyone's electricity bill, right, either through indirect taxation or just higher bills. So you've got jacked up electricity prices based on, and as you asked me before, are we subject to these UK emissions taxes that are basically jacking the cost of gas up by probably twice as much?
Okay. All right. Julian, good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
18 minutes past 12. Electricity is central to our lives. Wherever you are, you will be using electricity, perhaps even listening to this program. Electricity is used... it's ubiquitous. We've had it for over 100 and something odd years, and particularly in domestic settings. Whether electricity powers your central heating, your water heater, the fridge, the freezer, tumble dryers, lighting, television, satellite dish, computer-related equipment, your heater fan, your boiler circulation pump, your cooker, your washing machine, your dishwasher, you get it? We all need need electricity. Imagine life without electricity. It will be close on unbearable. Now you can't get gas fridges and freezers anymore. So electricity is central to our lives. And at some point, we need to know what all this is about. Obviously, Moore Vannin is about money. Julian was saying that 57 million is not a lot. £1 million a week is not a lot. And is that going to be index linked? Is it going to be inflation proof? Care Vi is about burnishing our green credentials and providing us with net zero electricity as part of our aim for the future. I just wonder where you stand on this. It's difficult because there are some entrenched views on both sides. And at some point, that circle has to be squared. At some point, the government will come to a conclusion, whether Moore Vannin happens, whether Ørsted start building those 1,000-foot wind turbines 6 to 8 miles off the east coast of the Isle of Man, or whether the wind turbine happens at Care Vi. Here's David with us now. Hi, David. What are you generating today?
Full battery. I know you're going to ask this, so I've got the screen up now. I'm 3.5 kilowatts producing electricity, and I'm shunting out to the national grid, to those that are paying for it, 3.4 kilowatts. And I'm getting 9p back from the Manx Utilities. So as soon as that fella comes on from Manx Utilities, I'm going to ask him why we're only paying 9 and you're charging somebody else 47 or 37, what it is, per kilowatt. But I wanted to talk about the King coming.
Okay.
Not about King as such, but the Parliament sitting. And I just thought it was two-faced listening to the Parliament there. All the members were in their seat for the prayers, and the Bishop said a prayer and a couple of things like that. But normally, about 3, 4, 5 of them don't sit in prayers because they're not religious or think it's an old hat. And I just thought, and then they trot off to Government House for tea and sandwiches, don't they, or something stronger. And I just thought to myself, well, isn't that a bit two-faced? We're employing these politicians at 67,000. They're not in departments. And it's a right old whinge today. I'm right in the mood. And I also want to just jump over to the Mount Murray and just to let people know it's the examination team, first time I've ever met them. What a professional organisation they are, and the government side and the wind turbine experts on the other side. And they're all very friendly until they start. And then, because the guy, our colleague was on earlier about geothermal, and I asked Professor Quirk last Friday, is it a non-starter for geothermal in the Isle of Man? He said, blank, not worth getting there, not worth drilling a hole to even try it. You need to do something. And what we need to do is run the cables. Our biggest thing, our letdown is going to be, Andy, is the cables.
Well, the interconnectors.
Yeah, and then around the island, well, if you look at, and a professional guy rang me up and told me, like, you're in the street where I live, right, and you're producing all this electricity. Somebody else further down the street puts another 6 or 7 panels up, but then can't get into the network or the three-phase supply got coming in to change it, to shunt it back and to give it out to the network, because the MEA don't want it. They want you to buy electricity, not to re-shunt it around. So it'll be really interesting when it comes back up. And maybe when Professor Quirk's on the island again, and just to get him on, and then we could shoot these barrels which are in the air. We're never going to get anything. The rivers in the Isle of Man are not rivers, are they? They're streams and brooks. The lakes we've got, or the reservoirs we've got, and the turbine up there, once it runs, I'm led to believe anyway, within a day or so, she'll be half full. And you wouldn't do that anyway. There's more value in the water supply to the consumers than actually running through a turbine to produce electricity. Do you remember the time they did it from Baldwin, didn't they? They put a pipeline over. I don't know whether it's still there. They put a ball from Baldwin Reservoir over somewhere else to top up the reservoir.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
And I don't know what happened to that, but it was an interesting talk this morning, and I might go back this afternoon because it's wet me whistle.
Yeah.
But it's well above my pay grade, to tell you the truth. And they were talking about Groudle, and so I've learned today something I didn't even know. They were going to put 2 cables in. Now they're only thinking of putting 1 cable into the Isle of Man, and it's going to go to Groudle. And it's not going to go to Douglas. Mm. So I'm sorry about Douglas.
All right. But, okay.
And they were even talking about the... because it's really interesting. You've got to look beyond it, haven't you, Andy? Is to look what the revenue sources would be, how many jobs there would be created, who's going to maintain them in the future. And don't forget, Andy, we'll be all gone. So
well,
I need to put a plaque.
Exactly. That's part of it. We won't see any of this.
We won't. And it's just that, I don't know, we never have a... when you did the schools, I don't know whether you how much chat to them about energy future for the future there. But the younger, not all younger ones anyway, is they're going to have ideas, aren't they? They're going to have all sorts of things, like we're going to have satellites in the sky. Do you remember we were going to, we were the, what was the third, going to put a rocket, have somewhere we could launch a rocket?
Yeah.
Years ago. And then were the days when the politicians, okay, we may have made mistakes, but at least we tried something.
Okay.
We're not trying anything at all, mate, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. Thanks for being with us today. All right, good to talk to you. I want to go to Howard now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I've listened to Julian there, and yourself, actually, talking about the decommissioning of Pullroy's power station.
Yeah.
Now, should that happen, which I think is a very strong no, well, the import of gas, which is used for the power station generators, that there then will be cut by quantity. So the bulk rate, when they're purchasing this gas from whoever they get it from, will be reduced. So, of course, the cost, if you're reducing the bulk rate, the cost will increase. Which the MUA, bringing the gas in for their own use and then putting it out through to Island Energy, which is Manx Gas in a different vale, the price is going to be increased to Island Energy. And then the consumers, of which I am one and have been for a long, long time, we're all, well, on gas. Douglas Corporation are taking, when they become unrepairable, the oil-fired heaters, boilers out, and putting gas in. So they're on the path of fitting gas. But if the gas quantities are reduced coming into the island, then, as I say, the bulk rate that the MUA are paying for it is going to increase, which will increase automatically to all the gas consumers throughout the island. There's something you don't hear anybody saying. Because that's one of those things where they're concentrating on renewable power, and it's never going to replace a diesel or even nuclear. There are various systems out there, but gas, various places throughout the UK, they're reopening gas because the wind and the solar systems, etc., are just not coping with the quantity. So how will the Isle of Man fare if, the, as you said, in 7 years' time, it's going to be decommissioned? Rose Power Station.
Well, the thing is, what we don't need to be saddled with is out-of-date technology, and who knows what's going to come along in electricity generation in the future. They're talking about fusion, as you said, these small Rolls-Royce nuclear reactors that are around and about. You know, we could be left, and the trouble is, you know, we're a well-off nation, but we're not rich like lots of other nations. We can't afford to be saddled with something that's the equivalent of like a VHS cassette whenever everybody else is moving on to streaming.
I appreciate that, but the Isle of Man is in a very difficult position in a way, as we cannot produce our own money. We would have to borrow the money because we're an independent nation. So if in the UK they can go to the government sources, which essentially is the Bank of England, and borrow X billions of pounds, the other man couldn't afford to do that. And we have a perfectly good power station down there at the present moment. And the MUA put in their two penny worth a little while ago, said when they decommission it, they're going to use it as a data centre. Now, to do that, a data centre will consume a myriad of power. So where are they going to get that from if they're going to take the power station out of commission? You know, that's not something that you want when it works, when the wind blows or the sun's shining. They've got to have a data centre, it's got to have power.
Yeah.
Continuous. But the thing that I was listening to this morning, and Al Callinson, he's on his way, he's not going to stand this year, but what has got to be thought of, he's talking about the asbestosis.
Yeah.
You automatically think of builders, plumbers, This is the older generation, because asbestos hasn't been used for a long time, but it's still there in buildings. And that will have to be removed, etc. But also, and it's not thought about much, the brake linings of cars, vehicles, buses, etc., they all had asbestos in them. And the engineers, the mechanics who stripped them down, and I've seen this done, used in airline to clear the dust out of the brake drums. So there's a lot of people out there who could possibly need help in the latter years with asbestosis.
Interesting. Okay. All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks for that, Howard. Yes. Howard was talking about the thing that the outgoing MHK, Dr. Allinson, was talking about. He wants a discreet scheme to compensate workers who become ill after exposure on the Isle of Man to asbestos. Now, they got one in the UK. He's moved a motion calling for Treasury to investigate this. It's for people who've contracted mesothelioma, which is an aggressive form of cancer that affects the lining of some organs, mainly the lungs and the abdomen. This is asbestosis that Howard was talking about. Asbestos, well, it was used in the UK from post-war, post-Second War. It was banned in 1999 because it was thought to be the perfect material because of its fire repellent properties. But a compensation scheme in the UK never been established in the Isle of Man. And as Howard mentioned, brake linings are certainly one of the main points. And you remember, for a while, they've been constantly finding government buildings that had asbestos in them because they were built possibly in the 1950s and in the 1960s. And it was thought to be the miracle cure to fire prevention. Anyway, any thoughts on that? I just want to go back to this Moore Vannin offshore wind farm. The debate is set to continue. The examining body, appointed by Council of Ministers, is focusing on specific items this week. Now, a general session of evidence was on Monday at the Villa Marina. It's fair to say there was mixed opinion.
I'm talking about the importance of renewables. I think there's a lot of denial around at the moment about the risks what climate change actually means and the importance of doing something about it. For I can see, the Isle of Man is well behind with making use of renewables compared to other places, and we need to get on with it.
I don't believe that enough people know about this project. I don't believe they fully understood the scope of the island that's going to be built off our east coast and so close. And it's not just that.
When you say the island, the 87 wind turbines.
The 87 wind turbines that are going to be cemented into our seabed, 6 miles off our coast, and 350 meters into the skyline. And if you consider that on the island, we don't build anything bigger, taller than 10 stories. So it seems to contradict what our island is all about, with its natural beauty, beautiful ecological concerns. We're a biosphere. We've got dark sky status.
If the scheme goes ahead, the question is Ørsted the right partner? And my argument was that they are not. They are under financial distress. They are suffering from losses. They've just made 2,000 people redundant. They have sacked their entire management team. Their share price has collapsed over the last 5 years by 80%. And we're looking for a stable partner who can be with us for the next 30 years.
Fundamentally, the government has misjudged the whole endeavour. They're treating this as a planning process, as if they're building a block of flats in Douglas. This is of a scale of $4 billion, which is probably 20 times the scale of anything the Isle of Man has ever done before. And it is not receiving that level of seriousness.
Well, any thoughts on those comments? Then get in touch. The debate rolls on at the Villa Marina. And I was at the Villa Marina on Saturday, says Steve, for the John Williams versus Hans Zimmer concert by the Manx Youth Concert Band, Concert Brass and the ELS. It was a fantastic night and great to see such musical talent on the Isle of Man. Looking forward to see what they do next. We don't have enough tidal pull to generate electricity, says John. Nobody's talking about tidal. are they? Anyway, we have 8 to 9 months of average to ideal conditions at Eyre Stain for wind turbines. Thank you, John. Well, apparently, well, they've said in the past, we got world-class wind at Eyre Stain. If you look at the... Marie said, if you look around the countryside, you see lots of land is just old fog grass, which will take a lot to bring it back into production. Also, very little stock in the fields. Farmers are paid for land they own, no matter what the condition of it is, and they're not paid for rearing animals or to grow crops for the public's consumption. Says Marie, it needs to stop if you want the island to produce food. The King has said, 775, that we must protect our heritage, culture and globally awarded unique biosphere and bird wildlife protection. So these turbines can't be allowed, or we go against the King, Lord of Man. Says that. So I don't think he quite said that, 775. What he said may not quite be what you heard. Why should we, shouldn't we all just buy one of these generators that run without fuel through the use of magnets if the island wants wind turbines? Look at the Chinese cylindrical turbines. They're the future in this, not these big horrible things. Not sure where your caller gets the information from, but Timwell members didn't leave that. Timwell sitting with the King to have tea and sandwiches at the Government House. Weren't the MHKs invited to Government House? We should be told. Juan's with us now. Hi, John. Juan?
Oh, we've definitely got world-class wind, but it's not an Eyre Stain, Andy. How are you doing today?
Well, fine, thank you. Yes, it's a gorgeous day, another gorgeous day on the Isle of Man. Not very windy, though, is it?
No, it's not, no. What did you think of the royal visit yesterday?
Well, what I saw seemed very good. He was very natty in that suit of his with the dark glasses. Looked like somebody from the CIA.
Well, indeed, yeah. He managed to get a landlord's inspection in at Government House while he was here as well. And it must have been an important meeting because Tony Palmer ironed his shirt. I mean, that's exceptional, isn't it?
Well, it has to be said. I mean, that was fair play to Heroes on the Water for getting the Lord of Man down there. And I think the Lieutenant Governor had something to do with that. But that's fantastic because it's a great charity down there.
Indeed, I think the Governor actually spends a lot of time down there. He's one of the boys. I think he makes the tea and everything down there. It's very good. Yeah, the full police were down there doing an inspection the day before, so make sure nothing was untoward. A friend of mine actually shook hands with the King yesterday, and she gave him a tin of Manx knobs, Andy.
Crikey.
And he accepted them as well, a tin of Manx knobs. I was telling a friend of mine this morning, she was hard of hearing, and she said, a tin full of Manx knobs? I said, no, a tin full of Manx knobs. So he took them pleasantly home with him anyway, I believe. So, you're talking there about geothermal was mentioned there. And, of course, I mentioned yesterday about this meeting and Ethan Quirk, who's a young person who lives here, he's talking about Puerto Rico. But I just wanted to touch on the geothermal aspect. And we had a Zoom meeting about a month ago, Andy, and the person joined the Zoom meeting called Dr. Anthony Williams from a company called StarCore Nuclear. They are involved with small modular reactors, and it's a Canadian company. But what he brought to the table was they had a meeting with government here. I've just got my note in front of me, it was 2000 or 2016, 2018. They had a meeting with the Isle of Man government to explore geothermal, and they put a presentation on the table to the government of the time for geothermal. And in Anthony Williams' words, we never heard back from them. So again, I have to pose this question. With that information in mind, why have they not explored this? Why has a company come here and offered to do a geothermal plan and explore, and this government has not taken it on board? And again, I ask this question because this would tick every single box that we're talking about in sustainability, in keeping continuity, baseload, everything. And as Ethan Quirk pointed out, well, didn't point out about about Costa Rica, as Julian said, they are involved with geothermal. I have a friend that stays with me here from Martinique who does geothermal. Best thing that Martinique ever did was geothermal. Why is this government going down this route of spending all this money out with this company, which at the moment is precarious? It's not standing on its own two legs. Any company to survive has got to be profitable, stand on its two legs, and not have subsidies given to it by government all the time. So, not really a company per se, a proper business model. I've got to ask again why anyone from this government will not come forward and talk about geothermal. We have someone there, as David Quirk mentioned there before, this other David Quirk, who he will turn around and say, no, it's not going to work, because he's got a dog in the race. Anyone who's got a dog in the race on the other side is quite easily going to turn around and say, no, that doesn't work. But again, I asked this government, we've got 24 sitting members, why has no one picked this up and spoke about this? Why has it not been talked about, Andy? Because it would tick every box. We would have our own power and sustainability. I don't get it. Do you?
Well, as you say, the fact is that lots of people are in business. Obviously, Ørsted is in the business, as you say. It is supported by subsidies and this, that, and the other, and contracts for difference and what have you. But we, the public, are surrounded by people who are in business. The wind turbines want to sell wind turbines because that's their business. Obviously, other people have got various... The solar panel people want to sell you as many solar panels as possible because Absolutely. That's their business. All we know is, as I mentioned earlier, we all need electricity. We want the lights to turn on when we turn it on. We want the TV, we want the radio, we want the microwave, we want all that to happen. We just want electricity. How it gets to us is kind of immaterial. We just want it and we'd like it as cheaply as possible. But we're surrounded by people who are in business to make electricity the way they want to make it. And of course, there is at the back of all this a political movement to go towards net zero. But make no mistake, that's all about business.
Absolutely, totally about business. And going on to what your caller said before about DEFA and the lack of help that they're giving farmers. And of course, they're conflicted because there's people within our government who, if you look at where they've worked before, they're involved in the net zero agendas and all the 2030 agendas. They're in our government. You can track them back. It's not hard to do. You know, everyone's interested in cows farting, and really we should be interested in putting food on the table. And again, it's all down to this net zero. And again, follow the money trail every time. But I don't get the first thing I would do if I was going into this government was explore the geothermal, because the security that would give us was actually scaringly good. That would give us the security for generations.
Okay, and what would the risk be, Juan? What's the risk then?
Well, what is the risk, Andy? I don't know. I mean,
well, the risk is that it doesn't work, and we'd be throwing money down a pit.
And we've done that not before, have we?
Well, we've got records, yeah, we've got...
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like I say, you know, we're talking 90 million for the shed at Liverpool, which we don't own the land to, per se, by the way, and the money that we spent on the boat. What would be 4 million or 5 million in the great scope of things to drill a hole that could give us permanent electricity?
So you think that would be a good bet?
I think it would. You spend $540 million a year on Manx Care. I think it would be a good bet to try and do it because, Andy, if this worked, then our farming would change around. We could have farmers farming here, selling it to England. We could have cheap electricity for our hospitals, for our schools. It would bring our rateable values down. Everything would work on the back of it. And I do not get the reason why they will just not explore it, especially now with this information we've had from Starcore saying that they have approached this government and they turned it back. They've not got in touch with them.
Okay. All right.
I'd like to ask someone from government to come forward and put this on the table or explore it.
All right.
Cheers,
thanks,
Andy.
Sue. Good to hear from you. A note in from G on WhatsApp, just putting this out there. Am I the only one who's seriously worried about the September election? So many people declaring that they're running for MHK with no apparent political experience, not even been in a local council or commissioners. We could end up with people running departments blindly. we could have a Treasury Minister with little or no financial or economic knowledge. What is going to happen? Well, there we are, G. I think you've just put yourself forward as an MHK. You will, won't you, G?
At Bagode Cattery, we've been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for our customers' cats and treat them as our own. Visit bagode.com or call 321 989.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.im.
Discover your dream home in Andreas with Kell Developments. Quality new build 2, 3 and 4 bedroom spacious homes and bungalows, offering countryside living with amazing views just 5 minutes from Ramsey. With latest energy efficiency, contemporary German kitchen, bathrooms and including all flooring, you literally only have to turn the key to your new home. We're in our final phase, so don't miss out. Check our Facebook for show home opening or to arrange a visit. Kell Developments, Oatlands Road, Andreas. Island living redefined.
15 incredible albums and a worldwide record deal have made Nathan Carter one of country music's brightest stars. And now you can catch him live at the Gaiety Theatre on the 30th of July. Now for Nathan Carter and his band at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Presented by RS Promotions and supported by your nation station, Manx Radio.
The countdown to the next Isle of Man general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who you think should represent you in the House of Keys. And here at Manx Radio, we've got all the information you need to help you make your choice. We'll be playing out our full interviews with all the candidates each weekday from just before 11:30, and they'll also be available as podcasts shortly after broadcast, and you can watch them on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, for everything you need to know about the upcoming election, you can head to our dedicated website. Just go to manxradio.com to find out more.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And John's with us now. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. I must admit, I agree with most of what your last caller said, because after all, we have a good track record of digging a hole and throwing money into it. The one thing that worries me is the people that are representing the Manx people over this and the ones that are against it are the same people that inflicted the Liverpool Sea Terminal on us. And it's almost as if now they've got something bigger to play with.
Do you trust them?
No. I wouldn't trust any of them. I'm not blaming the MHKs, because they're not the one that make the decisions. It's the senior civil servants and the invisible people behind government that make the decisions. But there's just one other thing I would like to say. If Charlie Kirouche had still been with us, we'd have never got to this position now. It would have been kicked into the long grass long ago. Because after all, it would have been in his front garden, wouldn't it? These windmill things.
I was just going to say that there is a place called Charlie's Views, isn't there, in up by Mackall, where you can go and see that. So it's not going to be much of a view if
it's not, is it?
87 no, turbines.
No, I think the whole thing is very sad, the way it's got to this. I really do. And it's the same thing with, I've always said, they're going on about the bus station. If you went down Strand Street and just asked a selection of people where they want the bus station to be, I guarantee the majority of them would say right where it was. And this has gone on for 20 odd years now. Yeah. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. The whole thing is very sad, the way this situation has developed.
Okay, all right. John, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. Eric's with us now. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Andy. Just want to talk about the asbestos.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether many people know, but the mains for water on the road are Ebrite pipes, which are made of asbestos. Now, I asked many years ago, a long time ago now, at the management meetings we had, whether the asbestos in these pipes would do any harm to people. And that's how it given was. I think it's this way round. No, that's blue asbestos, and it's not dangerous. It's only white asbestos, which I now found to be an absolute load of rubbish at the talk. And two of the things that they say is the outcome of asbestos. One is COPD, which is what my brother has. We both worked on the water boat. And the other one is blocked arteries, which is what I had, and had my leg amputated. Now, in them days, we were using power saws to cut through the Everite pipes. So you were in a hole full of dust, and there was no breathing apparatus in them days. You know, and you would use a rasp to rasp the pipe to get the joints on. Right? And now, if you're working on one of these Everite pipes now, as soon as it's out of the ground, it has to be wrapped up, and then it's taken out to the tip of the bride and has to be buried under a load of sand so nobody can ever get to it again, because they are so dangerous.
So are they still, are there still some of these pipes knocking around?
Yes, hundreds and hundreds of them. You know, and when one breaks, if it breaks in the middle, you have to get a joint on to repair it. If you only take the piece that's broke out, well, then you're using a saw to cut through the pipe. And they still do it now, but of course you've got all the equipment to wear now. And it's just the way we were told it was no harm. Well, you know, me and my brother, we both have illnesses caused by asbestos, in my opinion. So I think I might be paying a visit to Al Chalmson and find out what he is talking about here, because I've looked at it before. Yeah, and this is what happens when you're using asbestos with no protective clothing or breathing or whatever. You know, and if this is true, what he's saying, going to set up something where you can get compensation, well, I'll certainly be looking for it.
Interesting. Well, I'd certainly never heard of that today. I didn't know that asbestos was in some water pipes.
Most of the pipes, probably. You've got 2-inch, well, inch and a half, 2-inch, 4-inch, 6-inch. You know, and it was all Everite pipes. You know, nowadays, of course, you're putting plastic in or I've forgotten the name of the other stuff, the blue stuff. But the majority of the pipes would be asbestos. Obviously, it was no harm to people with the water just going through them, because you didn't have any dust or anything. You know, and the water just come down the same as it does now. You know, but the actual cutting of the pipes in the ground, you know, I mean, that's what we had to do. That's all the equipment you had.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't have breathing apparatus or anything. You did it, because that was the job. But I would say that the management of the water board, and I know you're going back here now, like 30-odd years, maybe 40-odd years, when we were asking that question, and that was the answer we got. No, this is blue asbestos, which doesn't affect you, but the white stuff does.
Okay.
And to me, I think that was a lie.
Okay, well, let us know what you get from Dr.
Yep.
Allinson. Okay. All right, Eric, thanks for calling today. Here's Robert with us now. Hello, Robert.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, yeah. What's on your mind?
If you go on YouTube and if you tap in MAGMOV, that's MAGMOV.
Yeah.
There are generators there and they work on magnets. As somebody says, you can get power stations like that.
And do you think that's we should look at that here then, do you think?
Yeah, well, they're household things. They're small units, and you put them in your house, and they use not reliant on the sun, not reliant on the wind. They're not batteries. They just generate electricity.
Yeah.
They're magnets which are on a cylinder which spin.
Yeah.
They use no fuel at all, and they just generate electricity all the time.
Okay, have you got one?
No, but I am thinking about buying one, and if there is a site where you buy one, and there's one which produces 1,400 watts, and it's on offer, they sell them in euros, 1,500 euros.
Okay.
And you get them to run on 240 volts as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know that. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for calling today. Magmov. M-A-G-M-O-V. These are these domestic generators that run on magnets. I've seen bits on the internet, but I thought it was a wind-up. Must be anyway, I've got to say, I must apologise to Paul Corkill because I got a message in yesterday from Laura. Paul Corkill retired from the steam packet yesterday after 48 years. So a very happy retirement from Sebastian and Cameron. Daily Man in Line listener. Thank you, Laura. And hi to Paul. I apologise for that, Paul, but the King got in the way. I was going to do that yesterday. And then, lo and behold, the King turned up. Regarding first-time buyers and the problems with housing, a few simple ways to help first-time buyers, says Rich. Stop buy-to-let mortgages, which are mainly used by landlords to outbid first-time buyers for rental properties. With multi-property ownership, add 20% stamp duty to each extra property, then give that money to first-time buyers for their deposit. We'd have to introduce stamp duty, wouldn't we? Also, get students who don't return to work on the Isle of Man to pay back the $30,000 in university fees that they were all awarded by the taxpayer, and then put that money into a fund for first-time buyers for their deposit. Those students who are living across will be no worse off than English students who have to pay their own fees, even if their parents paid tax here. We need to encourage people to come to the Isle of Man or come back to the Isle of Man with a simple measure like that. And regarding taxes, says Pauline, we were talking taxes over the past couple of days. The test I had was a 3-hour all-island test. With Derek, says Pauline, 3 hours. I would say that 70% that have just got the badges wouldn't pass that test if they had it now. It is easy to pass a test now. It just wasn't then. So tomorrow, FC Isle of Man. The chair of FC Isle of Man is on tomorrow, and the finance and chief exec is on. We're talking to David Pope and Russ Kent. First match, by the way, for FC Isle of Man is Saturday the 1st of August. They play FC St Helens at home. But we'll find out more tomorrow. What is the big plan for FC Isle of Man? Are you a Ravens fan? Are you looking forward to the new season? You've got any question you want to ask? Then you can call the answer phone on 682 631 or email maninline@manxradio.com or call, text or email tomorrow. That's it. Thanks to Michelle on the phone. WINT.